from KQED. From KQED Public Radio, good morning and welcome to Forum. I'm Penny Nelson, in today for Dave Iverson. Coming up in the hour ahead, we consider this week's startling news that City College of San Francisco could be forced to shut its doors by next summer. The Accrediting Commission for Community and Junior Colleges has voted to strip the school of its accreditation by July 31, 2014. The school's been scrambling to fix financial and organizational problems cited by the commission a year ago, but their efforts prove not to be enough, at least for now. Now a school trustee says City College will appeal the decision and fight to keep the doors open. Our panel of guests will help us understand how City College got to this point, who made this decision and why, and what the future holds for the school. That's all ahead on Forum. Good morning and welcome to Forum. I'm Penny Nelson, sitting in for Dave Iverson. The City College of San Francisco is one of the largest community colleges in the country, serving approximately 85,000 Bay Area students. It's also a school fraught with enough financial and organizational problems to draw severe sanctions a year ago from the Accrediting Commission for Community and Junior Colleges, and a warning that if the school didn't get its house in order, it would lose accreditation, meaning the college and the students attending it will not qualify for federal or state financial aid, credits may not transfer to four-year colleges, and degrees from City College will lose much of their value. The City College of San Francisco's community rallied this year to make changes that would address the commission's concerns, and passage of a parcel tax and Prop 30 brought the promise of some financial gains. But in the end, the Accreditation Commission wasn't convinced and informed the school this week that it will lose accreditation in a year. The decision makes City College the second public community college in the state to ever lose accreditation. Time will tell if this decision will stand. Trustee Rafael Mandelman says California's Chancellor of Community Colleges will join in a formal appeal of the accreditation decision and appoint a trustee to run the school. This hour on Forum, we will try to untangle some of the threads of this story, what problems the school faced, and how much progress was in the works. We'll also dive a bit into the accreditation process, who makes up the Accreditation Commission, what metrics they use, where other community colleges around the Bay Area stand, and what happens to all those students midstream in their education. With us for the conversation, we have a terrific panel. Nanette Asimov is with us. She's a Chronicle reporter uncovering higher education. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Also with us is Jennifer Aries. She's communications consultant, a spokesperson for City College. Good morning.
Good morning.
Alisa Messer is an English teacher and president of the American Federation of Teachers Local 2121. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Penny.
And also with us is a recent alum, a former student trustee at City College, and a gentleman transferring shortly to Cal Poly, William Walker. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Penny.
I just want to say that we did invite members from the Accreditation Committee. We invited Special Trustee Bob Agrello, the California Community College Chancellor's Office folks, and the current student trustee, but all of those individuals were unable to join us. So the big question is sort of where to even start. Nanette Asimov, I want to go to you. Give us some background here. City College has been serving San Francisco students since 1935, is older than the Golden Gate Bridge, and it teaches and trains 80 to 90,000 students a year. Why was its accreditation even at risk?
Well, it's been a pretty wild ride for the last year. And a year ago, the college knew that it was going to have to make plenty of adjustments, but they were shocked a year ago when the Accrediting Commission said that, in fact, they were at the brink of losing their accreditation. And the commission named 14 major recommendations, and it's only recommendations if they want to keep their accreditation. These are really required if they want to keep their accreditation, which they must do if they want to take have state and federal money. So the college launched into a repair mode and spent the last year trying to address all of these requirements to stay in business, because without accreditation, you close.
And the quality of the education, the quality of the faculty wasn't in question. What were the recommendations based on?
That's right. The quality was not in question. It was, for example, evaluating the quality of the education and determining what's called student learning outcomes and assessing teachers. And they had to begin with changing their mission statement. It was too broad. The college wanted to be all things to all people. And the commission said, look, you need to align your resources with what you're offering. Every other college cut back during the budget crisis, but City College did not want to do that. It was a good-hearted thing that they tried to do to just not stop offering all kinds of classes to everybody. And they didn't want to close their campuses. That was another thing that the commission cited, that they just had no control over their facilities. They were building new buildings while not maintaining the old ones. They had no financial planning to speak of. They had governance problems, too many people making decisions and ending up squabbling. So there were this long array of deficiencies that the college was hit with. And primarily also, whereas other colleges, you know, did not want to chop from the top. This is a student demand. Please chop from the top. City College did chop from the top. And so they're administration was at skeletal levels. Their reserves were very low. And if you ask, and you'll hear from college faculty and officials today, that they've worked really hard over the last year to address all of these. But and I also should say that, you know, nobody believed that the accreditation would be revoked. And this college is so important to so many people that they also didn't believe that it could not, that they would not have to do something because the college had not met all standards. So what the accrediting commission did was kind of to have its cake and eat it too. They came up with a solution or an approach that where they would have it both ways. They could both tell the college its accreditation would be revoked, and yet the college is open today, and it will be open for at least a year.
But basically, they were saying, so they were giving a roadmap. They were offering recommendations/requirements in order to get accreditation this coming next year. But the belief probably in the culture of the campus was that, well, they'll never really close the doors. This is City College. So they're giving us a roadmap, and we will do our darn best to follow that roadmap. But if we're doing a good faith effort, they will grant us accreditation.
Yeah, and it's worth pointing out that this is all new ground. Only one other college, Compton College, has ever had its accreditation revoked, a public college in California. And that was a small college that was absorbed by another neighboring college district. So everybody's inventing this as they're going along. And City College is a tremendous resource. So what do you do about that?
Well, Jennifer Aries, so why don't we tackle the very first thing basically what Nanette is saying is that it was operations, management, administration, and finances that were at issue, not quality of education, not faculty. So what was the school doing to tackle that very problem? And it sounds what Nanette Asimov is saying is they were cutting administration and management. That's the very shortcoming.
That did happen, and this has been building over the years. I want to touch on something that Nanette said when they received the show cause a year ago. Faculty, staff, and students immediately buckled down and went to work. They spent thousands of hours addressing all of the recommendations that were put forth in the show cause. When we talk about, I think it's more than cutting the administration and things. It was when we look at the governance, you look at finances, you look at, as Nanette talked about, the student learning outcomes, the work that was done, and we truly felt that we had addressed what needed to be addressed in the show cause recommendations.
And give me some concretes around that. So some of their recommendations and what in the course of this, it hasn't even been a year. I think they made had their evaluation in March, right? So really there was 9 months for the school to get its cards in order, its house in order, and then they were going to use their March, wherever they were in March. So give us some examples of concrete changes that were made.
Okay. I'll start with student learning outcomes. And over the past few years, the California Community College System has been taking a much closer look at student learning outcomes. These warnings and have been handed down by the Accreditation Commission for several years. City College, that was one of the things that we had to focus on. And this college buckled down, and I believe it's, if not 100%, at least 99% of the student learning outcomes were complete and put forth in that final report. And it's difficult if you're not within the community college system to understand what a Herculean effort that is.
And building projects were put on hold. Mm-hmm. Financial efforts were made for, I mean, I'm imagining with Prop 30 and with the parcel tax that came through, it looked like revenue streams were going to be at least bolstered a bit.
To an extent, yes. We did have an enrollment effort with that. But we also couldn't expect that Prop 30 and the Prop A funds would carry us through. There are still processes on the financial side that we are still digging into to change, to fix, to streamline. That was evident in the FICMAT report that was given to the Board of Trustees, I believe, last Thursday. So we know what we need to do. The college has been working on it. And frankly, we'll continue to work. That we're not settling for this decision.
And did the school and William Walker, I want to go to you with this as well, Alyssa Messer, was there every expectation that these steps were going to be enough? The students were convinced this was going to work? William Walker?
Well, I think that it's really difficult to discuss the 14 recommendations and to discuss the work that was done without really discussing the climate that the college is in.
Talk a little bit about that.
So, I mean, you have situations where you have departments where when you look at the way that we deliver counseling services to our students, it's a department that was five different departments that under this current year, beginning July 1, it's now been consolidated back into the one department it was, I don't know, maybe more than a decade ago. And the issue that students seized upon over the past 6 months is the fact that we laid off all of our part-time counselors. But what wasn't quite clear to students is that we had an issue where we weren't fully maximizing the productivity of our counseling staff, and whether that was because counselors weren't given the resources that they needed to be at the highest level of their performance, or if there were internal struggles or issues around communication. I think that when you look at the 14 recommendations, it's very important not to just look at the work that's been done, but to really look at whether there's a united groundswell. And I can't say that from being present in a good number of the meetings, being the appointed or the elected student rep, I don't know that we were always all on the same page. And I want to talk about how when you look at the team that was assembled to lead the leadership of our college, I visited Cuesta College, which recently left ShoCause. And
Meaning it got its accreditation.
They've been reinstated. Mm-hmm. They're not full. I think they might have a warning, but they're definitely on the road to being fully accredited. And I met with their Dean of Academic Affairs, Deborah Wolf, and I met with their president of their academic senate, and his name escapes me right now. I apologize. But those two individuals were the leadership, and those two individuals are very linked into their constituencies. Our leadership that was chosen, our accreditation liaison officer, I don't believe was as tied into the leadership and wasn't really given the support or the skills to really build that relationship amongst the stakeholder groups. And I think that a lot of that has to do with why the college is where we are today.
So the impact of the special trustee that was chosen or the person that was supposed to be implementing the changes wasn't as strong as the person.
I probably shouldn't be outlining just one person. I should just really be talking about our interim leadership. Our interim leadership, for the most part, didn't have the elements from within the district. And I understand that the state chancellor's office, which was entrusted with selecting our special trustee, maybe they were at their point where they didn't feel that they could trust anyone within the district to make these changes. But we're now in a situation that because the correct interim leadership wasn't chosen, and because there were some missteps in a lot of the work that we had done, and missteps that whether it was pointed out by our faculty leadership in our stakeholder group meetings or pointed out by students at protests, there was a lot of disagreement. And accreditation is not just about hitting benchmarks. It's about hitting benchmarks and making sure that everyone is on the same page. And I think that there's a lot of work that we needed to do to make sure our constituent groups were lock in step to
make
the changes.
And I want to have Alisa and Jennifer Aries both weigh in on that. But before I move on, William, I want to, because you're a recent alum, I want to also ask you about two things that are raised by the Accreditation Commission: student outcome results and facilities. And since facilities were called into question, you know, the caliber of the facilities, the sophistication of the computer labs, all that sort of stuff, and also the evaluation process. As a recent alum, how do you feel about those two topics?
I have to say that not only just as a recent alum, but as a reentry student. So meaning I there was a 10-year lapse between the times that I was active at City College. A lot of the issues that I found were frustrating with our facilities and with how a student navigates when they first encounter the campus. A lot of those situations are still the same, where our matriculation, or they're now called student success steps, to the five steps you need to do to become a new student, from applying to taking a placement test to visiting the financial aid office, they're still very spread out. And we need to either commit to saying that we want to build a new facility that takes care of that, or prioritize and move those services in one place and really look at how, I mean, if you were to stand in front of our administration building on any given day, you see students asking, where do I go? Where do I go? And that's typical of any college environment.
Yeah.
But what's hard about City College is you have to give a list of where you have to go. And as far as outcomes, I think that the student learning outcome work that was done at the college is phenomenal. The fact that any syllabus that you received this past semester had a student learning outcome on it. And if it didn't, that person's class likely just did not exist. Right. I don't know any student on campus that doesn't know what an SLO is. It's almost a joke, because it's something that's been discussed so much that it's so ingrained now in the institution. I think that that's something that's successful. But as far as personal outcomes for students, I mean, I think that that's what student learning outcomes really lead to. And I think that there's still a lot of work that we need to do in regard to students that flail when they're in basic skills classes or don't make it, or students that, because they were college ready, didn't receive the level of services that they needed and don't know how to succeed at the college.
All right, we're talking this hour about City College of San Francisco and its recent decision that came down this week from the Accrediting Commission for Community and Junior Colleges to strip the school of its accreditation by next summer. That was just William Walker speaking, a former alum and a former student trustee. Also with us this hour, Nanette Asimov. She's a San Francisco Chronicle reporter of higher education. Jennifer Aries with the City College Communications Office, and Alisa Messer with us as well, an English teacher and president of the American Federation of Teachers Local 2121. It's a hot topic. It's a complicated topic. If you'd like to join in the conversation, you're welcome to do so. Give us a call at 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. You can also email your questions or comments to forum@kqed.org or post them on our website, kqed.org/forum. And Alisa Messer, I want to go to you with, governance is a big issue in this process. It's been challenged. It's been questioned. And I know that the community colleges statewide have what's considered a shared governance, an interesting governance program. And why don't you explain a little bit about the governance process, the involvement of the faculty, and also answer a criticism that the City College faculty makes a very eats up its retirement and compensation packages, eat up a disproportionate amount of the budget. But first, talk a little bit about shared governance.
So the community colleges in California have a shared governance or a participatory governance system. That means that faculty and, in fact, the whole college community and all of the constituencies are involved in the processes of running the college and ensuring the quality of education there. We think that makes sense, and it's a smart way to run our colleges. One of the criticisms from one of the 14 recommendations and the criticisms from last year was about our shared governance system. So in the process of the last year, that system has been thoroughly revamped. We have new committees. We were told that we had far too many committees. Those have been streamlined.
You had 46, right? And now you've got about how many?
Now we have very few that are actually meeting and meeting consistently. And we have one major committee. One of the criticisms, we have not seen the full report from the ACCJC site visit team. But one of the criticisms in the letter that we received yesterday, or the day before yesterday, I should say, was around the fact that that new participatory governance system is not yet fully functioning, as I understand it. So,
And I guess I have to ask how in such a short time you could get a new governance system functioning.
Well, I think that's one of the primary questions that we need to ask. This college has turned itself upside down and inside out, as you've heard. We've spent thousands of hours working on these 14 recommendations. So to hear at the end of that time that, in fact, it's not enough, after thousands of hours, after incredible sacrifice and incredible work from this college community, that it's not enough, and from the San Francisco voters as well, who stepped up at 73% to support the college. Everyone in this community wants to see this college succeed, and we've been working very hard to make that happen. And so to hear at the end that this is not enough, and in fact our accreditation will be revoked, is frankly outrageous. It's the wrong decision for the college. It's the wrong decision for San Francisco, and I really think it's the wrong decision for ACCJC.
Okay, and I want you also to quickly address this issue. I think what I read, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that of a budget of about $187 million, 92% of the budget goes to the faculty compensation and retirement.
Entirely incorrect.
8% goes to operations. And
yeah.
Facilities, and
that's entirely incorrect. That 92% number that we've heard bantied about quite a lot at this point is for all employee compensation and benefits.
So that goes from everybody to staff and cleaning crew, all the janitorial
land. It's been reduced this year, and the college has put forward some major savings and has a lot of efficiencies, and that number is shifting. It recently adopted a budget that is much lower, and it's done that through, frankly, layoffs and salary cuts.
And tell me about those, because I understand there's a lot of chairmanship changes and a fairly substantial salary cut. Is that accurate?
There has been a substantial reorganization of the college, and there have been layoffs and salary cuts. Yes.
All right, William Walker, you wanted to jump in. We only have about a minute till a break. So what did you want to
say? I just wanted to say, if you talk to anyone on the Participatory Governance Council, they would tell you that the council was never really given a chance to really set those parameters.
What does that mean? What do you
mean? Setting our own governance structure. The council was run as if it was a lecture hall, and we got the information from the top, which was the chancellor or her designee. Often the chancellor didn't even attend the Participatory Governance Council meetings. She was the chair of this body. She didn't have to be the chair of the body, but that was a decision that she made. And a lot of the accreditation responsibilities that she had and responsibilities of managing the college got in the way of really fully implementing that. And it should have been tasked to someone that was willing to fully vet it and fully implement that process.
Well, Jennifer Aries, a big complaint is that the buck doesn't stop anywhere at City College, that it's very broad. Nobody really has accountability because it's so broad. And we have to go to a break, so I want to hear from you on that. Also want to go to some calls. We've got a very eager bank of calls. If we're talking this hour about City College of San Francisco, and we'll talk some more after the break. If you want to join in the conversation, the number is 866-733-6786, and you can also join the conversation on our Facebook page. You can email us also forum@kqed.org or post on our website kqed.org/forum. I'm Penny Nelson sitting in today for Dave Iverson. You're listening to KQED Public Radio. We'll be back after a short break. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Penny Nelson sitting in for Dave Iverson, and we're discussing the decision handed down on Wednesday by an accrediting commission to strip City College of San Francisco of its accreditation by next summer. That would mean no federal or state aid to students, transfer credits would be in question, diplomas might lose their value, and thousands of students would be affected by the move. An appeal is on the way, and so we will talk a little bit bit about that and the fight to keep the doors open. With us for the conversation is San Francisco Chronicle reporter Nanette Asimov. She's been covering the story. Also with us, William Walker. He's a recent alum, former student trustee, a student headed off to Cal Poly shortly. Jennifer Aries is with us as well. She's a spokesperson for City College. And Elisa Messer is with us. She's president of the American Federation of Teachers Local 2121 and also an English teacher at the school. And we've got a lot of calls on the line, so let's go right to some of those calls. We've got, we've got Karen calling us from Oakland. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. How are you? My name's Karen Saginaw, and I'm the immediate past president of the Academic Senate of City College, which is the group that advises on faculty issues in regards to academics. And I'm calling to talk about the fact that the visiting team, which came in March, provided a report, and I was one of the folks that was allowed to examine that report, and I examined it at length and made considerable notes on that report when I had an opportunity to do so. ACCJC's final decision is supposed to be based squarely on that report, yet more than a dozen of the accreditation standards that the visiting team said we meet, the letter from Dr. Bino now says that we do not meet. And concerning the instructional student learning outcomes, the visiting team was very impressed with our progress. They literally applauded our progress when they came and talked to us. And in the report that was initially sent that I saw, they said that we had addressed recommendation number four. But Bino's letter says we didn't address that recommendation. I don't understand what this discrepancy is. Last year, the report that was that the visiting team wrote, there was, very little change from that from what was put out in the final visiting team report, and certainly the accreditation decision referenced that report. Why it's very odd that these changes were made, and I don't understand that.
That opens the door for a question that I think is burning for lots of folks. Who is on this accreditation commission? How did they come to the results they came to? And Karen, it sounds like you were pretty shocked given what you heard in March. So Nanette Asimov, I want to go to you to explain to us a little bit about who's on this commission, what's it made up of, what are the motivating forces behind this commission?
Well, one of the reasons there is such mystery about their motives and how they operate is that they're a private entity. The accrediting commission is one of six regional accrediting commissions across the country. Now, they're overseen by the U.S. Department of Education, a public agency, obviously, but they themselves are private. And in California, this commission is made up of 19 educators, mostly faculty and chancellors. There's a few other folks appointed by the community, or community representatives.
Who selects them?
But the member colleges vote for them. They run within the member colleges because the agency itself is supported by dues from these colleges. But although that is public money, the agency is private, so their thinking on this is mysterious. Now, the visiting team is a committee that the commission appoints. So they are an advisory body that advises these 19 folks. And Karen was referencing Barbara Bino. She's the staff director. And again, they just operate behind closed doors.
Okay. And help me out a little bit more. With these 19 individuals, are they representative of only community colleges and only in California, or are they representatives from all kinds of colleges from an entire region? Have we got Phoenix University and DeVry represented
well?
I mean, which are
one.
Private entities.
Yes.
So is it across the board, any higher education institution might have a member on this?
There's one representative from a private for-profit. I don't recall which one. There's one representative of the Pacific Island colleges that are under their jurisdiction. And most are from California. That's the whole – it's California, Pacific Island, and some of these private – and Hawaii. And so there's Hawaiian college represented there. But most are from California.
And who are they accountable to?
Well, right now, the interesting thing is that the accrediting commission itself is under review. It has an accrediting process, too, or a recognition process, as it's called, every 5 years. And the U.S. Department of Education has its laser eye on this commission this year. And so Alisa may be able to tell you more about that, because the teachers union has filed a complaint to alert the U.S. Department of Education of their dislike for this commission.
And Alisa, before we go to you, Karen, are you still with us? Are you still with us, Karen?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes. So my question to you is, are you at all informed as to when they file an appeal or when they fight this decision? Is part of it going to be, do you know, is the argument going to be to some degree on questioning the decision-making?
So the CJC recognizes as really the representatives of our college only our administration, which at this point is the interim chancellor, and you know, other people that she designates. I actually had to sort of struggle to even get an opportunity to look at that draft report, although at many, many colleges, the president of the Academic Senate is included when the college goes and talks to ACCJC. That's not been true at City College, and I do not expect that I will be given an opportunity to participate in further interaction with ACCJC.
All right. Well, Karen, I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much for calling in and sparking this part of the conversation. And Alisa, I want you to weigh in on the teacher and the teachers, the faculty, and the fight back.
So the questions that Karen Sagenor just raised are very disturbing. She is perhaps the only faculty member at the college who has seen that site visit report. We don't yet know what's in it. It is not yet posted on the college website, though I believe that that is forthcoming. The question
when?
That you
so
this
when?
Is an, a great we know that the college has been in possession of that report for a couple of weeks. We're anxious to see it. We're anxious to hear if there were big changes. The question that you asked about the who is this organization accountable to is the key question, is really the key question. We have spent our faculty union, along with our state affiliate, the California Federation of Teachers, spent considerable amount of time over the last months. Even while we were working, we know the college needs improvement. We want to help improve the college. And we have been very involved in trying to help with that process and meeting those recommendations. At the same time, we have been looking into what this report, the show cause report, said and meant for City College of San Francisco, and what it looks like, the accrediting process throughout California's community colleges. You'll find that there are a lot of concerns. So in April, we actually filed what's a third-party comment and complaint with the ACCJC, with the Accrediting Commission. It follows their own process.
Let me back up just for clarification.
Yeah.
Did the teachers, did the faculty see this document in March that Karen was referring to that says that so many of the points had been met, so many of the concerns had been remedied? Did you all see that?
That was the visiting team's report. There were folks at the college who had an opportunity to review that. I believe that Karen may have been the only person.
Because in a challenge, that would be critical to have.
You
would want to put that up against the final decision.
These inconsistencies are consistent in the behavior of the ACCJC, from what we can see. We have documented that they are happening and have happened throughout the California community colleges. And that's why in April, we filed a third-party comment and complaint with the ACCJC. It's also gone to the Department of Education. It's an extensive document. It's almost 300 pages. And it raises questions about their impartiality and the commission's compliance with its own policies and procedures, as well as state and federal law.
And has the commission done this with any other schools in California this year? I know a bunch are on probate or on in the warning phase, but as this decision came down on Wednesday, did other decisions come down around California that were of the same sort?
There were no other colleges in this last set of decisions that were placed on show cause or whose accreditation was yanked, as it's been mentioned. This is the second time this has happened. It's a new thing. It's huge. And it's something that all of California and, frankly, all of the nation should be looking at very closely. So we know that there are things that need to be improved at City College of San Francisco, but we are very concerned that we have here a rogue agency that is making decisions that are going to impact 85,000 students in the Bay Area that is irresponsible, and that we need to ensure that they are also scrutinized and that we understand how their policies are not being followed. We have conflicts of interest. We have violations of state and federal laws. These things need to also be scrutinized.
So that will all be in the challenge. All right, back to the calls. We've got Jim calling us from Fairfield.
Thank you very much. Once I naively thought that accreditation had something to do with academics and academic quality, with students learning and teachers teaching, and that isn't at issue here. I can see from the point of view of the Accreditation Commission that if your finances aren't in order, it will eventually lead to a degradation of educational quality. But eventually, it just seems to me that academics should be foremost, in that you should not, if you take a step back, you should not have a college at the brink of closure that every other community college in the United States views as a model. This is probably one of the best in the United States, certainly one of the best in California.
Jim, let me stop you there, because I want to get William Walker to weigh in on that, and also on what the feeling is on campus, that students that you know that are still there, the anxiety level and what people feel like they're going to do.
Sitting next to my favorite English teacher in the world, because I was successful in that class. Very great student learning outcome.
That would be Elisa Messer right here. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I have nothing but the utmost things to say about the quality of my education at City College of San Francisco. I came back. I came back for a reason. And I think that students are anxious, because what this college has had a difficulty doing, and it preceded the accreditation, and it's just because of our size, is the communication around anything happening in our college. And I think that right now, I would urge not just the college to mobilize. I mean, I understand that we have a communication specialist, but our statewide delegation of electeds should be very concerned. They are the folks who are responsible for making sure that higher education is available in this region, and I would like to see them have some type of response, whether it be having a town hall meeting or working with whomever the leadership they think it is, to make sure that students are kept apprised, that we understand that the college is accredited. The media response to this situation, you can't revoke an accreditation the day a decision is rendered. It's a 2-year process, and because this body came to their decision so quickly, normally you're given 2 years to look at this. And this decision's also unique for the reason that it's a 1-year decision. So there needs to be a lot of communication. We have students that are just dropping out of classes as we speak, and they're not bothering to enroll.
Because they're uncertain about the future. All right, we have to take some – let's take a look at some of these emails. We've got a lot of folks writing in. Karen writes, there needs to be a transparent discussion about post-employment benefits. As a CCSF alumna, I'm astonished that employees who quit or whose work ended continue to receive lifelong benefits for their entire families. It's a gravy train. Come on. To understand hiring at CCSF, recent postings were for a string of deans. These recruits were likely insiders, as is customary. No fresh blood. So that's Karen. Tony writes, in my 30-plus years of teaching, I've watched the expansion of the accreditation process with a mixture of horror and disgust. The College of Business and Economics is accredited by both the Western Association of Schools and Colleges and the AACSB, which accredits business schools. He goes on to say, ever since the federal government handed accreditation power to outfits like these two, the accreditation process has become increasingly intrusive. And Tony blames this on Congress, and changing the law would remove much of the power wielded by these agencies. Peter writes, I'm currently a student at CCSF. What provision does the closure report make for students to complete and be awarded their degrees or certificates beyond the closure next summer if closure does happen? And Jennifer Aries, let's use Peter's question to springboard off of what William just said. Also, we don't want students dropping out thinking that their school's not going to be around. What can you offer students as a reassurance, and what are currently enrolled students to expect from their current coursework and their current diploma?
First off, let me just say that the college is open and accredited. the transferable units that they're earning will transfer. Their degrees and certificates will be accredited and will be awarded from an accredited institution. That I think that is,
and this holds
first
for sure
and foremost,
all the way through until the 2014 July at least.
At least, yes. Okay. There is a review process that we will begin working on immediately. Following that review process, if we're not satisfied with that decision, we will immediately request an appeal, which will take several more months. So the college is not going to rest with this decision. We're going to keep moving forward.
Nanette Asimov?
Part of this whole sad process was that the college was required to prepare a closure report by March 15th to describe the answers to these questions. And the accrediting commission decided that it was too thin of a report, didn't provide enough information, and is demanding that the college spend more time fleshing out just what would happen with students and their degrees and employees and the buildings and all the assets should the college actually close.
You wanted to jump in, Jennifer?
I did. Thank you. And I appreciate Nanette bringing that forward. So as we're moving forward to document the reasons why we are requesting review, we also need to focus and put more detail into that closure report. And while, you know, we don't really want to acknowledge the word closure, we have to be responsible and face that. So we've got, you know, work to do over here while we're also having to detail the closure report because that is due for review in November.
Alisa Messer.
But I do think we need to be clear. The college and I hope the San Francisco community and, in fact, the state chancellor's office have all said, and we are certainly saying, that we intend to ensure that this college remains open and accredited to San Francisco students. So it's very important. There are administrative things that need to happen. That is part of the process. But we are focused on keeping this school and keeping it available to San Francisco students. And in that process, we also need to look at what the impact of even just this report, the show cause report, or the show cause ruling, and then now the latest ruling that came down, the impact that has already had on City College of San Francisco and the San Francisco community. We had 85,000 students. We have dropping enrollment because, as William says, students are not clear that this is a place to be and to continue to get an education, even though we know that the quality of education is fantastic. We know that San Francisco stands behind it. There is no plan that could possibly address the loss of a college that serves 85,000 students in the San Francisco Bay Area. Our city depends on this college. Our economy depends on this college. California depends on this college. We need to ensure that it's here for those 85,000 students.
And I want to make sure it's clear to listeners that we invited members from the accreditation committee. We invited representatives from the California Community College Chancellor's Office, and we invited a special trustee, Bob Agrello, all to join us on the show. But in particular, we did invite accreditation committee members. They were not able to join us. That would have clarified a lot of this, these questions that we have. But I want to make sure listeners know that we tried really hard to get members of that committee, somebody on the show, to be here stating their point of view. William Walker, you want to jump in?
I want Peter to know that report for closure did explicitly state that if you're at 75% of your program at the college, that you will complete the college with a City College of San Francisco degree. And that as students, there's a lot of tension at the college right now. There are a lot of people who are upset, and I think that energy needs to be focused around students demanding that communication be very clear and be very clear with your counselor. I'm at 75%. What does this mean? What are my steps to make sure that I complete my program? And that's going to be what students need to focus on. And we're here as leaders of this community. They're going to make sure that there's a higher education institution in this city. But as students, it's most important that you really focus on making sure you complete your program.
Well, you have to self-advocate it as a student. I'm sure you have to be kind of on the ball yourself about where you are with it. Let's go to Wanda. She's a retired CCSF. Are you a faculty member?
Yes, 25 years.
Great. So good morning and welcome to the show.
Thank you. I hate to carry this idea that's in my mind, but I've heard it over and over again, and I am very curious because the privatization of so many things today has come so commonplace. K-12 is a force to be reckoned with, and
for good or bad. And prisons is a done deal, pretty much. And we're seeing the move to privatize almost everything. So are the members of this committee part of the swinging door we see in Washington, where they go from public work to private lucrative jobs? That's a question. They may still be working for the public education system, but they may not be. And the is this the first shot over the bow towards privatizing all community colleges, because there would be a lot more money available to private industry in college level than in K through 12?
That's a great question, Wanda. I want to have Nanette Asimov address that, because I think this is a big issue. Higher ed in California is very expensive, and it's been a big issue. And is Wanda's point about a kind of a quiet effort to start privatizing higher ed taking away the public component?
Well, one of the ways that privatization, if you will, has happened in California, or is happening, is simply that the state funding is diminishing and the tuitions are rising, so that the paying for the college transfers to the private sector, the students. That is not so much in evidence at the community college level, although the per unit cost has risen in the last 3 years from $26 a unit to $46 a unit. And yes, the state funding has been diminishing up and down. But the thing about that gets to this accrediting issue is how and I'm not sure of the history of it, but why the accrediting commissions are private is something that puts causes the public and private sector to clash over a public community system.
Has there been any response from Mayor Ed Lee or Governor Brown, or has there been any official political response to this huge step towards a big public community college in our state?
Yeah. Mayor Lee was pretty vocal 2 days ago. You know, the irony is that there are those, including many politicians, who actually think that this process will help City College of San Francisco. You know, yes, there's the threat of closure, and it's getting closer every day. But there's also the other side, which is that the politicians say that by forcing change, the city college and the community college system could actually emerge better, more efficient, and more helpful to students and the constituencies.
All right, a tweet,
a college,
Bob.
That looks
I'm sorry.
That would actually be a much smaller college. And one of the things that's one of our major concerns, and I want to go back to Wanda's idea, what she said about privatization as well, is that our public education system is really shrinking. We're a college that used to be 100,000 students. We're at 85,000 students, and very concerned that we're dropping quickly, and that fewer and fewer San Franciscans and Bay Area residents will have access to an affordable, quality higher education. The community college system has been rocked by budget cuts after budget cuts over the last 5 years, and that's finally turning around. But we've pushed out statewide more than 500,000 students. City College of San Francisco wants to remain accessible to students.
And it does more than the first 2 years of a four-year college degree. There's a lot of vocational and professional training that goes on, whether it's from first responders or police or biomedical, all that sort of.
We are San Francisco's largest workforce development trainer. The city relies on us. I think Mayor Lee and others really recognize that that's the case. And I hope, want to see us continue to do that kind of work and know how important that work is. City College needs to remain available rather than, and this is also a piece of the privatization, rather than pushing students to for-profit institutions, which are much more expensive, which rack up an incredible amount of student debt, and which put more and more of their own funding, which is often federal funding through financial aid, into advertising and things that
and
are not
about the
classroom.
And by those, we're talking about DeVry, sure. Phoenix, the ones that we see a lot of advertising around, but that's when we're referring to those private entities. That's what we're talking about.
Our public education system, our community college system, is an accessible and quality education that is affordable to Californians, and seeing it diminished.
There's so much to tackle here, but Bob tweets, and it's a very critical little tiny tweet. It says, I'm not hearing the specifics of the ACCJC's reasons for denying accreditation. So Jennifer Aries, I mean, that's, I think a lot of us are wondering, And I know you tackled, Lisa, you were saying that nobody really knows what the points are. Does anybody have some very specific reasons that they've denied accreditation?
I have the decision letter here in front of me, and I'm digging in as we speak. We just got the letter 2 days ago. I'm digging into the details to find the meat of why. Why did they deny this? And if you look at the decision letter, which is posted on the City College website, you'll see we have the accreditation standards, and then I equate it to math in elementary school when you have the set, the subset, and the superset. It goes that detailed as to where the deficiencies remain. So I'm digging into that right now to try to find that meat to answer those questions so that we know and we can move forward.
It actually appears that there are additional standards that the Accrediting Commission now says we do not meet. So
has added on.
Right.
William Walker?
The decision letter always comes out publicly before the actual report. Mm-hmm. But as a student, I also, as the appointed student representative, stakeholder, I also have not seen that report. So it's hard for us to give you specifics mm-hmm. when the information in the process isn't as public as it should be. And that falls on the auspices of the Accrediting Commission.
All right. We only have we have less than 2 minutes left. I want to point out that a listener writes, this is a decision that can be appealed. It is the duty of all the elected officials to step in and make sure CCSF stays accredited. Give people the info they need to respond in a participatory manner, not with the passive past tense. So using our very little amount of time, Jennifer Aries, I know the school's going to appeal. What can community members do to jump on board to work their magic?
I will let you know that we are working very hard to communicate to internally and externally every step of the process coming forward. We have an official Facebook page. We have a website.
We'll put the website
questions
on our website. Okay,
yes.
And we are out of time. I know it's a big topic and everybody wanted to jump in, but that's it. Elisa Messer is president of the American Federation of Teachers, Local 2121. San Francisco Chronicle reporter Nanette Asimov helped us out this hour. William Walker is a former student trustee and alum, and Jennifer Aries, communications consultant and spokesperson for City College of San Francisco. We did invite members from the Accreditation Committee, Special Trustee Bob Agrello, and California Community College Chancellor's Office members. Nobody was able to join us from any of those avenues. And thanks to all of you who were able to get onto the show. We appreciate it. Alan Kasdan, a child expert, is with us for the next hour talking about child behavior. The show is produced by Judy Campbell, Irene Noguchi, and Tina Lorberg. Our engineer this hour is Danny Bringer. For Dave Iverson and KQED Radio, I'm Penny Nelson.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.